It is the top of the hour, 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, and it's time for Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn, the White Guy, and Khadija is just coming into the studio. She had an errand to run this morning. Our guest this morning is Andre Thurman Sr., director of 100 Men of Blue Hills. Good morning, Andre. All right. It's good to see you this morning, and we're going to talk about this, and Khadija's going to come busting in here just as we get going, but tell our listeners a little bit about what it is. What is 100 Men of Blue Hills?
100 Men of Blue Hills, in short, is an organization that has been assembled by leaders. Leaders who emerge from the streets of Kansas City. Leaders who most of us have made mistakes in the past, paid for them, been to prison or whatnot, been released, never to go back again, and we're bent on redemption. We're bent on saving as many young people as we can from experiencing what we experienced and from seeing death that we've seen in over the last couple of decades. You know, we're bent on turning that around. We understand that this is our responsibility, particularly those of us African-American males in the African-American community. This is the issue that has hurt us the most. And for us, you know, it's shameful if we as African-American males can't stand up and govern our own community and take control of our own young people and ensure that they have a future.
Oh, that's great. I mean, just even hearing that. And, you know, Khadija's more familiar with this than I am. By the way, he's got on his 100 Men of Blue Hills t-shirt. And his friend Tommy here in the studio with us. And the queen has arrived. Good morning.
Choo choo, baby. I was running a little late, y'all. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, she has arrived, and she is in here in person. And by the way, the T-shirt that you wear once you become a full-fledged member of 100 Men of Blue Hills is black with white lettering. And she's got on a black T-shirt with white lettering. So it's looking good.
Yeah, I have on an AME shirt. This is my godly shirt for my church. But yesterday I did have on a white shirt because I'm in a probationary period right now, which I absolutely love that you have to go through this probation before you become a complete part of it, because you want to make sure you're a part. I mean, that you can handle the job and vice versa. They want to make sure you're the right person. So,
well, the thing I love about just his opening remarks is this is people making a difference, trying to be part of the solution in Kansas City, and people who you said might be ex-offenders, people who have had a little trouble in their past. By the way, my son is in federal prison in El Reno, Oklahoma. He's going to be getting out September 29th. Okay. So he's going to be joining the ranks of those who have maybe had a little bump here or there in their journeys. Okay. And it's great to hear all these people doing something for Kansas City.
Oh, absolutely. Most of us are from Kansas City, born and raised here. And we've seen the highs and the lows. And we want to be a part of building the highs. We want to be a part of ensuring safety, productivity. You know, we want to be a part of mending the gap that exists between the generations here in our city. We think those are things that are important. We want to be a part of protecting women, protecting elders, and protecting children. And we've been a part of those things that made up some of the stuff that's going on right now. We understand that. We accept that. And we accept the responsibility of being the first to address it. And so we on the daily deal with resolving conflicts. We understand that without communication, there can only be conflict. And so most times we have to be a part of making the communication happen between people who are involved in conflict. And most times with men, you know, it's a pride thing, it's an ego thing. I don't want to be the first one to approach and say, I want this thing to end and say, I want peace, because that'll be a sign of weakness to the other party. And so we understand that there has to be a mediator who stands in the middle, who is not, you know, leaning towards either side, but understands that the ultimate goal is peace. The ultimate goal is communication. And the ultimate goal is that we can walk away from here today understanding that violence is not an option to resolving this.
Oh, I love it. And are you sure you haven't been on the radio before, man? He's a natural.
Natural, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, I met Andre and Tommy down at the Black Agenda Group at Metropolitan Church.
Meets every Monday morning?
Every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And one, they got me when they mentioned Mark Porter. I'm a huge fan of Mark Porter and 100 Men in Blue Hills. Mark Porter helped me out with my very first hair show. He mentored me through that hair show as well. And he was basically my first sense of business when I first, you know, reached out to the community to try to get them involved in my hair shows. He also was very central in keeping us safe. I lived at 68th and Olive at one point, and the crime over there was hilarious when I was staying there. I mean, my kids hardly ever played outside, but if there was some activity going on or something, all I had to do was call Mark, and he would help clear it out. Now, I don't think I saw him personally come through, but I knew it was because of his works, his actions, his picking up the phone and making a phone call to someone and saying, hey, she needs some help over here. And as he did that for many young women in the community. So I appreciate that. And it just only seems natural that it would segue into what Andre and them are doing right now. What I want to commend you guys on is taking the stance before the action actually happens. I mean, I commend people who do vigils and all that, but there's nothing that can really be done once the crime is committed.
Right.
So this is something that I myself personally probably have been searching for a long time and just couldn't find any people that were doing it. And like he said, he's the first to be doing this across the country. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about how this could be a model for other cities across the country?
Absolutely. What I try to share with everyone, with the young people when we talk to them, when we sat down with them, and even when we do mediations, is that we have the opportunity right now, the unique opportunity right now, to actually set the model all over this country for what young people can do when they put their minds to it, when they make a stand and say, we can actually be the vanguards for our city, the ones who take the leadership to make sure that our community stays safe, to make sure that our young people can go to school and get a decent education without worrying about their safety. You know, we can be the ones to ensure that. And by right, it's our responsibility. It's our children that we're talking about, our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren. And so it's nobody else's responsibility to ensure their safety, to give them a good education, to make sure that they have a future. And so this is really about accepting responsibility. And we've done that. We're doing that. Mark Porter, you know, he's one of the most important pieces to what we even have an opportunity to do today, because what he done was lead by example. And what you're seeing him do is passing the baton. You know,
absolutely,
we respect everything that some of our elders have done, you know, in the past to attempt to address this issue or to address this issue. But at some point, the young people got to take the lead because we represent the future. You know, if you don't have young people, you don't have a future. And so at some point, you got to make room for them and you got to pass the baton to them. You know, and sometimes our elders, that's the last thing in the world they want to do, especially if it involves finance. People don't want to pass the baton if finance comes along with it. And so that's when it comes to making a priority. You know, you prioritize what's important. And if you got young people ready to come to the forefront and say, hey, let us do this. Let us actually take a part in this community that we've been isolated in. Let us take this opportunity now to show our whole community, our whole city, that we actually can take the forefront of keeping our community safe, not in opposition to law enforcement, to any other organization, but actually to take the pressure off of law enforcement, because we understand that it's not their responsibility alone to keep us safe. They can only react, but we can be proactive.
You know, speaking of young people, I think I asked you guys the question of how do you get young people at the table, you know, when we're at Metropolitan. And I immediately saw once I got walked out the door, it's to me it was spiritual, But it was also the young people being ready. I spoke to Deontay, who is 16, and his little sister, and learned that they just signed up because they like what their mom was doing, you know, going out in the community and actually helping people. It shocked me that, you know, even later on that evening, speaking with Deontay and the young girls that I run in the mentor program, and him explaining exactly what it is that you guys go out and do, and every last one of those girls said, "I'm ready. I will do it," you know.
That's right.
And I tried to get them involved in a lot of different things. Do you think it's the spirit, or is the right time, right moment for all of this to happen, or do you just think the young people have been looking for this?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's the spirit that's just moving around right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's also a sign of young people being absolutely tired of what's going on around them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it's also them finally seeing an opportunity, a chance, and a vehicle which they can use to actually become leaders in the community.
Right.
You know, so I think that it's a combination of those things. And as a community, we got to make sure we have that. We create that stage or that opportunity for young people to actually be able to take a position in our community.
Yeah, the vision I have, which this is just wonderful. Folks, you're listening this morning. We want to hear you, too. We're going to give the phone number here in a second. But the vision I have is a gang leader or a potential gang leader who now gets turned over to being a leader in the community, right? That's what it is.
Absolutely. And so a little bit of history about myself.
All right. Right before you do that, let's start getting the phone lines going.
All right.
And then, yeah, I want to hear all your history, because I asked earlier, you know, what high school you went to. And he said, "Well, I was in alternative high school for a while." But that phone number, Khadija, go ahead and give that. And we'd love to hear from you this morning, a question or a comment for Andre.
So call in, state your name and what area town you're calling from. 816-931-5534.
All right, 816-931-5534. Thank you very much, Khadija. Good to see you this morning.
You're welcome. I have on my trusty hat after leaving the 100 men meeting and the rain was pouring. I had just done my hair.
Yeah, it says together forever.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, so Andre, I would love to hear, and I'm sure the folks listening in this morning want to hear a little bit about your background.
Well, my background, first of all, I grew up one of these young people, one of the ones that we're concerned about today, one of the ones that people feel that they need to be afraid of. I was one of those young people. I was involved in what people call gangs. At some point, referred to as a gang leader. We never referred to ourselves as a gang. We considered ourselves a street organization. But I was considered by law enforcement and others as a gang leader. My name was on the Kansas City Gang Task Force list. I was one of those young people who they considered a threat. And so I say this and I share this with you because I need for everyone to understand that what we look at, some of these young people going up and down the street with their pants sagging, with their music playing loud, looking unruly and making a bunch of noise, and you're hearing stories about stuff they doing around the neighborhood. These young people are not monsters, and every last one of them have something in them that if you touch that, they're going to want to change the way they live. If you expose to them and show them the alternative, they're going to think about the fact that they have another way that they can live and maybe a way out. And even if they don't move on it at that particular moment, a situation or an instance will happen in their life where they remember that seed you planted, and they'll come back to you. And so you got to remember that.
That
it's never too late. And I'm a living example of that. And so there's people all around the city who've seen me and known me since I was a young boy. They seen the way I grew up. A lot of them told me I wasn't going to make it to see 18. You know, I've heard a lot of those stories. I was going to go to prison for a long time. Did go to prison. Was fortunate enough to come out in not a long time. And, hey, I know for a fact that people can turn their lives around.
Sound like you have God's grace on you.
That's right.
So, I grew up at 33rd and Benton, went to Central High School.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the beginning of gangs. I saw the violence. I see violence today amongst ourselves, and it makes me sad. You know, just as mad as I get about police officers killing black men and black women and children, I get just as mad about black-on-black crime.
Right.
You know, and often people want to know what makes you pro-black. And I believe that making a stance like this is what actually defines pro-blackness. And there may be people that don't agree with me, but I really believe that this is the moment of being pro-black. And so what I want you to be able to do is share with other people how they can become a member of the organization and become pro-black, pumping that fist.
There you go. This is pro-community, pro-Kansas City, pro-black. Right. I love it.
Oh, absolutely. And particularly pro-Kansas City. And you know, we just want people to understand and know this is the stage where we can perform what we feel is our responsibility in this city. This is the opportunity to do so. And you can join 100 Men by simply giving us a call. We're in the street, actually. We in the neighborhood all the time. If you out there, you'll see us.
Is there a particular number they can call?
Yes, they can call 816-499-9083.
Are they actually going to get you on that? Is that your phone?
They may, in fact, get me.
All right, looks like we're going to have some the phone lines may be firing up, but Khadija, please continue.
Well, you know, with the gap between the old and the young, what I witnessed at your meeting was an entire spectrum of generation. Your mom was there, you were there, your son was there, I think your nephew,
yes,
and your sister.
Yes.
How does that work for your everyday life to be intertwined with helping the community and your family being there? How do you separate the two?
Well, for me, there is no separation of the two. My family is a part of the community, mm-hmm. you know, and it takes the whole community. You know, there is no way that I feel like that should be two separate things. I want for my family what I want for myself. You know, mm-hmm. and as I said, they're a part of the community.
Could that be the way that you came up with the women's support team, or how did that come about?
Well, I think that came about because a lot of women wanted to know, well, what can we do, you know, mm-hmm. as a part of 100 Men? And our response was, hey, anything you like to do, you tell us what you would like to do in this organization. And, you know, because I'm big on, I don't like to tell people, you know, what contributions that you can make. I like to get from people what contribution they would like to make. And that way, you know, they're committed to it.
Yeah, they have their talent and so forth. We've got a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and what area of town you're calling in from.
Hi, this is Mo. I'm a member of St. Mark at 12th and Euclid, and I live in North Kansas City, retired teacher. I wanted to ask Andre, what was that spark or sparks that led to your transformation? And I'll hang up.
All right. Thanks for calling in this morning. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Mo.
To be honest, it was I think it was a combination of things, you know, and as things progressed, the more intense my need was for change. I had a child, and so immediately that made me have to be concerned about another life besides my own. I was a young man who grew up without my father present, and so I knew I could absolutely identify with what the end results of that could be, not having a relationship with my child. And so I automatically had to start thinking a little bit different. Now, it didn't mean that I was thinking right, because I still needed guidance. But the elders around me, by this time, they feared me. And so the possibilities of them approaching me and giving me alternatives or showing me the way out was non-existent. And so, hey, in a sense, that personal relationship with God is what helped me make it through the start of that transformation. It was not a human being at all.
Because like you said, they were afraid of you.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it typically is. My son is also, I mean, you know, he's going to be a lot different when he comes out, but he was not anybody to mess with when he went in, you know, 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, you just gave me chills because I thought about the parable you gave about Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you know, the things they went through. It just sounds so similar to that.
Absolutely.
You talk about, when I was at Metropolitan, you talked about the Teen Summit.
Yeah.
Not the Teen Summit, I'm sorry, the Gang Summit. Teen Summit was on BET, right?
Right.
That was a fun thing. But you talked about that and that being over 20 years ago. And yes. Where you are today, you want to give us a little synopsis about how you feel about being on the Gang Summit 20 years ago and now approaching the same issues?
Hey, when
on
I
the
think
opposite side of the fence.
When I think about it, it's amazing, but at the same time, you know, I get mixed feelings thinking about it. You know, I feel good knowing that some of the same soldiers that was fighting the fight then are fighting now, and on the other hand, it saddens me that we still got to be fighting the same fight. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's mixed feelings about that.
I completely understand how that can be. When we talk about violence, do you ever put the instances of people who are selling drugs in the mix and try to combat that? Or is it just strictly about stopping conflict?
We believe that if you can address the conflicts, everything else can be worked out. People actually pulling weapons out and shooting each other, doing harm to each other with weapons is what we're concerned about.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we've got another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and what area of town you're calling in from.
Good morning, Brother Ron McMillan, checking in from downtown Kansas City.
What's up, Ron?
I just wanted to call in and encourage my brothers from 100 Men of Blue Hills to keep doing the dynamic work. Their presence is vital on these streets, interrupting some of these violent things that happen over some of the silliest incidents is very important, and I appreciate them. And we have to remember, almost like I was looking at some Black Panther stuff the other day, the Black Panthers for self-defense. Yeah. We have to have our people with a self-awareness about our own safety. We got all these cell phones. We got all these ways to connect with each other. But if I'm rolling Paseo and somebody's shooting, I got my baby in the car, how quick are we going to communicate to each other, you know, in that part of the town? Look, man, you know, if you're rolling this way, they shooting, you know. If you got this, you know, do we got cameras? Do we got a way to combat the danger? Or even having some of the parties that we plan, and we know that there's conflicts, our duty to talk to people, because we know who shows up, who got beefs. And we're going to have to be more conscious of how we protect ourselves and have a self-defense, even in our churches. All the years that we see everybody going to church, we know when you go to the mosque, you get searched. Churches are going to have more of a security, too. Because protecting ourselves is the next generation's job. Because we didn't came through all the protests and the struggle. Now we have to start forming some way that we can actually defend ourselves. So you brothers are doing a great job. And we need to be with y'all just to help advise you on some of the things we already did in the 90s and the 80s that might make it better for today. Be strong, my brothers.
Thank you, Ron.
On the God force. You're on the right side of history. And we just, the struggle will always continue.
Thank you, Ron. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Ron McMillan.
Thank you, Ron.
And he sounds like he is perhaps an elder, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
still
yes.
Fighting the fight. One
He's
of those soldiers I'm talking
time.
About.
Absolutely. So he brings up an interesting point, and that's how do you handle these conflicts? Is there a certain type of training that you guys go through in order to be able to approach people and be that mediator, man in the middle?
Absolutely. And so over the course of a couple of decades, I've had several trainings locally, nationally, and even internationally. But also, our staff now is receiving training here by the Center for Conflict Resolution and also 10,000 Fearless. We'll be taking advantage of a lot of opportunities to receive training. And so we're slowly just getting the people involved, different trainings that they need, equipping them, putting as much in their toolbox that they can use.
Cool.
Yeah, we have time for one more caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and what area of town you're calling in from.
My name's LaVita Gassaway, and I'm calling actually from Lawrence, Kansas. Good morning.
Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Andre.
Good morning, LaVita.
I wanted to ask because, you know, I once worked with Andre, and I did some crisis intervention work, and, you know, it was hard for me to get out of the street. So I kept one foot in and one foot out for a long time. And then when I decided to make that move, I left. I really did leave the city. But the crime is still, it still crosses my, you know, where I'm at now, I look up and I'm checking license tags. So I had to question and wonder, you know, is this program that you're offering, is it available for people that are already trained across the state line, and the training available for people just across the state line? Because, you know, I got love on both sides of the water. All my kids live in Missouri, but I choose to do all my stuff over in Kansas. And, you know, it's the same amount of crime over here, same type of crime, same type of beef. Matter of fact, a lot of that works, you know, back and forth across that divide out, you know, come over there, do your dirt, and go back home, you know.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to ask about that because it's a great need. I mean, it's parents crying, people crying, you know, it's just, it's really sad. And another thing I wanted to say, and I shut up, is one of the reasons I'm not involved is because I have real young children, you know, and I really want to stay around and be available to my children first because I think I failed my older kids, you know. So I want to get involved, but I need to do it from behind the scene on a lower level.
All right, LaVita, thanks for calling in this morning. Let's let Andre have a and Khadija have a chance to answer.
Well, LaVita, I just want to say if you could just leave your information behind. But I understand what you're saying. I'm a mother of two girls who are heading into their adult years, and it is difficult. But what I used to do with my girls is I used to bring them pretty much everywhere I went. Except for those violent situations where I had to show up somewhere and be a part of a protest or something. But I thought it was important that my girls looked and saw the things that I was doing in the community. Thereby, when it was their turn, they would easily be able to transition into a voluntary role, a servitude type of person. So I think it's just helpful if you have your kids with you. It helps rear them as well.
Absolutely.
I just want to shout out to Khadija here because she brought four young people to our last public meeting, and that happens every second Thursday. So we do it once a month. Anybody can come, folks. So mark your second Thursday at 6:30 p.m. We'd love to see Andre and Tommy there as well.
Yes.
And it's a meeting to talk about racial diversity, you know, a discussion that needs to
totality,
keep happening.
Yeah.
But I do want to say in response to her, though, that we're currently working on building relationships even over in Wyandotte County and in other places, that we can build relationships with men and women who have like mind and understand that the only thing that's separating us is that bridge. But we're one people.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, Blue Hills is expanding all over Kansas City. In fact, even going over to the Kansas State, over the state line. I love it. We're almost out of time. We want to thank Andre Thurman Sr. for coming in this morning, director of 100 Men of Blue Hills. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and of course, my co-host Khadija.
Toot-toot, baby.
Yeah, and Mr. Kareem, who's been answering the phone for us as always. Thank you all for calling in today. We had Mo, we had Ron McMillan and LaVita this morning, and we didn't have time for anybody else. We're going to be back next week at 9 a.m. right here on 90.1 FM KKFI.